to the latest AHDB podcast. I'm Josh, and today we're going to be hearing from a collection of industry leaders who discuss with my colleague John Bates the introduction of the Coronavirus Business Interruption Loan Scheme. We hope you find it useful.
Coronavirus has proved to be a cruel and merciless killer here and around the world, and sadly, there is no cure. Along with the human cost, every walk of life has been impacted. AHDB has been analysing the effects on markets and has produced guidance and information to help farmers, growers and industry make sense of all that is going on. If you haven't already done so, take a look at the AHDB website to get the very latest insight on coronavirus in relation to your business. Visit ahdb.org.uk. There are frequently asked questions that you can read. There's sector-specific podcasts for you to listen to and an area where you can ask AHDB a question. Please use that resource. In the wake of the coronavirus, the British government announced what is described as unprecedented financial support to people and businesses. One of the measures is the Coronavirus Business Interruption Loan Scheme. And in this podcast, we look at what that £330 billion scheme looks like for farmers. I'm John Bates, and thank you for joining us to listen to this podcast. In March, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rishi Sunak, announced government-backed loans are available interest-free for 12 months to struggling businesses, those with revenues of up to £45 million, as they wrestle with the economic effects of COVID-19. Initially, in some quarters, concerns were raised about how the loans and the guarantees work. Subsequently, in the first week of April, further details were released by government relaxing the rules and the criteria which will apply for borrowers to meet if they are to benefit from the scheme. It's hoped this will make it easier for businesses to secure loans. Anyway, to help make sense of the small print, I'm joined by some experts. Pat Tomlinson, he runs a West Country-based accountancy firm, which specialises in working in the farming and rural communities. Paul Blundell, an HSBC Rural Services Relationship Director from Exeter. Martin Hansen, Head of Agriculture in the UK, also from HSBC and based in Birmingham in the Midlands. Later, from her home in Scotland, we will also hear from Doreen Anderson from AHDB, and she will talk us through the help and advice available from there. There are about 40 accredited lenders, and Martin Hansen from HSBC joins me now to firstly explain exactly what's going on. So the purpose of the loans, Martin, that's obvious. They're here to help keep small and medium-sized businesses afloat in these tough times. When do the loans become available?
Well, John, your introduction was completely right. And the government's thinking and the British Business Bank's interpretation and guidelines has changed a number of times along the way. All the banks are at slightly different stages, but I would say that certainly the loans are already available. As at last night, I could tell you that HSBC has certainly received thousands of eligible applications, and we already have several hundreds sanctioned cases in place and ready to go. The volume of applications has been unprecedented, though, and so we have been drafting in additional staff to be able to process them and try and work our way through them as quickly as we possibly can.
Martin, with state aid in mind, is there a limit to the amounts that farmers can borrow and what it's for? So can it cover overdrafts and financing assets and invoices, that sort of thing?
It can. A lot of discretion available in terms of what the money is used for, but it has to be as a direct result of problems that have come about because of the virus. Various qualifying criteria that apply in general to these types of loans. So, for example, your business must have been viable before the virus hit. But there are specific rules relating to farming because the European state aid rules suggest that there's a cap to the amount of support that can be given, which is set at €100,000. So there's a lot of confusion about this, but the 100,000 limit applies specifically to just this type of support from government. So in other words, it will apply to the amount of interest-free payments that you benefit from and the fact that you are paying no fee. With that in mind, if I think about how this applies to HSBC by way of example, then the margin we charge on these loans would be 3.49% for money up to 3 years and 3.99% over 3 years. Those are margins over base. So if I use those margins as an example, then effectively it creates an upper cap for farmers at 2.3 million or £2 million, depending on the term of a loan. I ought to also say that there are minimum amounts for the loan, and that's £10,000 if you're a limited company, or £25,001 if you're a sole trader or partnership to take it outside of the CCA limit.
Okay, now I note, Martin, that the government guarantee up to 80%, and unless it's a stupid question, who has the risk of the balance?
Well, I guess it's not just the risk of a balance, because the customer is liable for the whole debt. So in the event of default of this debt, then any existing security that existed with the lender, that would be utilised first. And the government guarantee then kicks in and covers 80% of the residual debt. So any remaining debt after that point that becomes effectively a bad debt, that rests in the name of the borrower. These rules have changed somewhat along the way as far as the provision of personal guarantees go. And so now none of the banks are taking personal guarantees when lending to limited companies if the advance is less than 250,000. And above that level, then certainly it's at the lender's discretion, but there is a cap of 10% of the exposure in terms of any personal guarantee that's taken.
Okay, Martin, I think that's quite clear. Pat, if I could bring you in here. So, Pat Tomlinson, as an accountant and an advisor, you're obviously dealing with farmers and their finances all the time. What can you do to help farmers and growers that are struggling with their finances?
Good afternoon, everybody. I think the first point I'd make is probably an intangible help in that to make sure we're available to clients to talk to. There's so much communication going on out there, so much confusion, then we're trying hard to make sure we talk to all our clients and make it easy for them to talk to us. That's the kind of intangible bit. I think once you then get on to talking about specific situations, I think the first point is to try and understand the specifics of their situation. What is the impact at the moment of the virus on their business? And also, what are the likely ongoing and increasing implications to their business? And once you kind of quantify that, then or look at that, then we want to identify and quantify what the borrowing need is actually going to be to get them through this problem. And I think here it's probably a good time to say, I think there's two immediate needs, and would be interested in Paul and Martin's take on this. The obvious immediate need is cash. And that's the short term need to keep the business going and operating. But there's clearly a longer term implication for those businesses in that this is extra debt. This is only a guarantee that's helping a business access more borrowing. So that kind of leads to questions about whether it is actually right for the business to borrow in that longer term. And if the answer is yes, you know, if they're happy to borrow and we think it's a sensible lend, then to help them prepare a comprehensive, what I'd call right first time proposal to put to their bank and give them the best chance of getting a yes from Martin and Paul and their colleagues at the first hurdle. Because once it's a no, it's infinitely harder to overcome a no. And the other thing I'd also say that I'm also minded in these sort of situations is to caution clients against the use or contact from many of the less credible lenders out there. I guess these would be wrapped up in the phrase loan sharks, but there are loan sharks in and around the farming sector that kind of prey on people that are desperate for cash. And it's really trying to not let our clients take advantage or be taken advantage of by any of those sorts of lenders.
Okay, that's good advice, Pat. Thank you for that. Other things that the government have done, they've deferred VAT and income tax payments. Is that going to help?
I think the first point to make is it's certainly going to help. These are all things designed to help, but both of those schemes are only deferrals of a debt that's already due. So the income tax, instead of having to make a 31st of July payment, it'll all become due by the 31st of January 2021. And VAT is only a deferral. And it's probably worth pointing out most farmers are net receivers of VAT anyway, so they wouldn't benefit from having a delayed payment of that back to Revenue and Customs. So all temporary. The other one probably to mention, there's the rates relief grants, which are going to be a help to some businesses, especially the diversified farm businesses, if they've got holiday lets that have become rateable, or cafes, that sort of thing. Then those grants are available. They are absolute grants, so they're certainly going to help their cash immediately, and they're already getting out there, so that's good news. But they only represent a part of the income lost by those businesses. And then finally, there's the job retention scheme, also a help to reduce costs. If you have got employees that that haven't got any work to do because of COVID, then you can put them on the job retention scheme and get 80% of their costs back up to a maximum of £2,500. Again, probably not that relevant in agriculture because it's clearly a busy time of the year and there's lots of work to do. But if there's a diversified business or enterprise that employs people, that may be an option there.
Pat, if any of our listeners were having difficulty before or were only marginally viable, what should those business owners do now?
Well, that's a very good question, John, and a really tricky one to answer. And I'm sure Paul and Martin will have their views on this. and my take would be that business interruption loans are unlikely to help in those circumstances. And then you've got to go through a really, really tough discussion or tough period because those businesses are desperate for cash because they've not been profitable in the past. But trying to get them not to be knee-jerked into a big decision for them as a result of the short-term cash. And that probably goes back to the caution about the less credible lenders offering cash in the short term. And so what I try and do with those businesses is separate the short-term cash need from the longer-term borrowing or longer-term decision-making, and then do our best to try and access that short-term cash in a credible way whilst, with our help, they take the time to review the wider options available to them as a family and a business. And in those situations, talking to your current bank and convincing them of your recognition of a need to do something wider, but can you have some cash to ease the short-term position? Always best to go to the current bank.
And to pick up on that, Pat, as well, I think you're absolutely right in everything you say there. Something I would add would be around, you know, there's very few agricultural businesses where the cash requirement will be immediate. It's not like businesses such as a pub that has had to simply shut its doors and income has dropped off a cliff overnight. You know, farms have got some time to see this coming and the potential impact on that. So, you know, if you're in a position now where if you're questioning whether it's viable to borrow money from a bank and whether that's going to be affordable to be repaid, it's probably wise to start having those conversations with your advisors, with your bank at this juncture before the actual cash requirement has hit.
The voice of Paul Blundell from HSBC. Paul, if I can just also ask you perhaps to comment on, from your point of view, what's the most important factor for levy payers to consider before approaching their lender?
For us, it's very much getting a clear understanding of what the impact of coronavirus has been on the business and what the requirement that will lead to. Now, that's not a perfect science because at the moment, nobody quite knows what the longer term impacts look like. But a lot of businesses will do forecasting. All businesses just have historic accounts. So there's a certain baseline that you can take as to how the business was trading prior to coronavirus. We need to overlay that with what has happened since coronavirus and what have been the impacts on the business, and then understand really the gap between the two. So what has the coronavirus impacts been on the finances of the business? And in a way, that's the bit that really needs sort of support and financing. So if we understand where was the business, where is it now, and what does that gap look like, but then also with a view ahead, you know, we could look at this today and actually thinking, well, you know, these problems could be with us for, or likely to be with us for months to come and perhaps longer than that. So it's perhaps taking a slightly longer term view. We're not just looking to cover people for the next couple of months. We're probably looking at least a year in advance, if not a little bit further. So it's trying to sort of look forward as to the ongoing impacts of coronavirus on a business. And then what is also really useful from a bank perspective is to understand what is a working capital impact and what is actually a loss to the business. So actually, if we've got lost income today, is that something that can be caught up in the future, or is that simply something that's got to be written off by the business as a loss? So as I say, understanding the difference between what is a true loss and what is just a working capital delay is also important.
So this is a really complex situation, which, as you quite rightly say, is a situation that farmers and many other businesses may be facing for a very long time to come. If our listeners want to find out more, what do you suggest they do?
I think there's probably two good sources of information. One of them is the British Business Bank website is very good. It has up-to-date information on coronavirus, COVID-19, and that's kept up to date. And the other will be to look at the website of your own bank. One of the stipulations that came out from the government is around that it will be your own bank that supports you with this. So now is not the time to be looking at a different bank. So if you're with HSBC, you come to HSBC. If you're with Barclays, you go to Barclays, and so on and so forth. And all the banks have websites with information about their scheme, because every bank is looking at this slightly differently. The broad rules are the same, but there are some certain subtleties that differ between the banks. So it's important to understand what your bank is doing about it and what's required, or what they can offer you from that side of things as well. So go to your own bank's website is the key signpost.
Okay, thanks for that, Paul. My last guest is Doreen Anderson. Doreen is a knowledge exchange manager with AHDB and knows all there is to know about benchmarking and improving business performance. Doreen is also a farmer, and we've interrupted a holiday. I can't believe that she thinks it is a holiday. We've dragged her away from lambing duties. Doreen, thanks very much for sparing some time to come and talk to us.
Not a problem, John. My pleasure.
When you're not lambing, what do you do for AHDB?
So I lead up the field team across the UK, working with our business improvement group members, as well as individual farmers, in uploading their data onto our FarmBench programme. We also facilitate the feedback meetings over the winter with the results, enabling like-minded farmers to have meaningful discussions between themselves and better understand the systems and practices sort of behind the numbers. They look at and discuss the strengths and weaknesses within the enterprises, and they share best practice and ideas in a confidential environment. And it's all part of the Farm Excellence programme we have at AHDB across the sectors for all our levy payers.
Now, I know you're a great ambassador for the Farm Excellence programme, and it's something that you spend an awful lot of time promoting and working with farmers around. Why do you think that's so important now?
Okay, John, so I feel it's really important for all the farmers to understand the ins and outs of their businesses, much like the guys before me have just emphasised, and probably more so, especially now. So digging deeper to give a real handle on where their money is being spent. And the way that FarmBench approaches this is to go to enterprise level. So it's calculating the unit cost of production for each enterprise on their farm. And it's with the ability to enter, say, a mixed farm. So it could be beef and lamb farmer growing combinable crops, could be a livestock farmer with potato also crops. So it's one of FarmBench's unique selling points. It can help to highlight the enterprises that are making and or losing the most money on their own farm. It also gives them the opportunity to compare to others. So the benchmarking report allows you to compare to the top 25, middle 50% and bottom 25% at enterprise level, and the group members can compare to their own group averages as well. But the beauty to this, in my opinion, is that it's all current. So, for example, over the winter there, we held all our Harvest 2019 arable feedback meetings between November and February. So this keeps the discussion fresh, and hopefully the take-home messages will mean that the farmers can make changes where needed to their current harvest. This all means that you're in a far better place to go and talk to your lenders and or your accountants by proving you know your business inside out, where the strengths and weaknesses lie, and you've got a real handle on your business. The HDB Knowledge Exchange managers are available to help with this process, and we also have the technical teams across the sectors too, all regionally based, and their contact details would be available on the HDB website, John.
Okay, so let's just reiterate that. And so if farmers want to know more, where do they find the information?
Probably the best way to do it is if you'd search the web for AHDB Farm Finances or AHDB Tools. That would take you to the AHDB main website. And here you'd find lots of information on things like how to write a business plan, a profit and loss template. There's a machinery cost and depreciation calculator. And of course, as well as that, the FarmBench website.
Okay, Doreen, thank you very much. Let's not detain you any longer. There may be a you out there that needs you. So thank you very much for sparing that time. And a thank you again to all of my guests. So Doreen, Pat, Martin and Paul. And of course, thank you to podcast producer Josh Borthwick. I'm John Bates. Stay safe and stay well. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. We hope you found it useful. If you haven't already done so, take a look at the very latest insight on coronavirus in relation to your business by visiting www.ahdb.org.uk/coronavirus. You can also check out a range of coronavirus related and non-coronavirus related podcasts that we've put together by visiting www.ahdb.org.uk/podcast. Thank you for listening and stay safe.